This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Yes, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also Sirius XM Channel 80. Have the Dolphins given up on Tua? Well, that was fast. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. The Patriots head coach, fellow goes by the name of Bill Belichick. Don't know if you heard about him. Said he's not ready to name a quarterback, as you know, starting quarterback after the preseason finale. I mean, whoa. Really? Oh, that's it? That's all there is, Bill? Hey, coach. It's the preseason finale. Maybe you misunderstood what was going on here. That's the last game. No one said, coach, no one said the penultimate game of the preseason. Raj, from context, what does penultimate mean? Penultimate.
Penultimate. Is that when you jump off sides, but there was an infraction, so it's not really a penalty?
No, it's actually one of those pens that has the red, the green, the yellow, the black, right, and the different colors. That's
those.
The ultimate pen, also called a penultimate. Penultimate means second to last. We didn't say the penultimate game of the preseason. We said the preseason finale. That's it, coach. That's all done. Make your decision. No, he's not ready to make that decision. We still have a lot of decisions to make, he said, after 22-20 win over the Giants. Cam started on Sunday, played two series, all with the starters, and then Mac Jones relieved and played deep into the third quarter, all with the backups. Coach. What's the choice going to be here at quarterback? You know, we got a season starting pretty soon.
Do you feel like you need to make a decision soon because the style of the two players is fairly different?
I feel like whatever we do in the next couple of days, like every day, should be what's best for our football team, and that's what we're going to try to do.
I think that in a former life, Belichick must have been a prisoner of war who spilled the beans, right? Like, he was captured behind enemy lines and he told them everything he knew. And he has to come back now and prove that he'll never give out any information voluntarily, ever. He has to go through this entire life without ever giving you a stitch of information. That's the only explanation, Raj. It's a legitimate question. Look, they're very different kinds of quarterbacks. What do you do here? Well, you know, whatever helps us win. Really, Sherlock. Is that right, coach? Whatever helps you. I thought you were going to choose whatever helped you lose. But since now you edified us all. Thank you. I understand now. I'm illuminated. Got it. What is interesting to me is after game two of the preseason, Cam looked like $1 million. Can you even say that anymore? Is that enough? Do I have to say $1 billion? When is that expression going to... You know, like dollars to donuts? I'll bet you dollars to donuts. That's because back then, donuts cost 3 cents, whatever it was. So a dollar to a donut, it's 30 times more expensive. But now, I don't know, donuts got to cost at least $1, right? Maybe more than $1. I don't know. I can't eat donuts. I can't get fat. Doesn't work anymore. We got to change that expression. Cam Newton looks like $1 million. If Cam Newton looked like $1 million, he'd take a huge pay cut, even on his veteran, like even if you take the vet minimum, or, you know, as a quarterback. Cam looked really, really, really good, I thought, game two. But he wound up going through COVID protocols. And why is that significant? Because those protocols only apply to the unvaccinated. Cam, apparently, I'm inferring from the protocols, did not get vaccinated. And also when a guy says, well, that's a personal decision. What? No, we're in a public health crisis. It's not a personal decision. Public. It's a personal decision. But actually, it's the public has interest in it, right? Because we want everyone to be vaccinated so we can get out of this pandemic. Oh, it's a personal decision. Okay, so you won't answer the question. Now you're going through COVID protocols. You didn't get vaccinated. Hey, genius. Genius. Last year. You got COVID, and it tanked your season. You were coming off a catastrophic injury, Cam. You made a very good impression on the greatest coach ever with your competitiveness and your leadership and your work ethic. And I thought you looked great against Seattle. You lost a goal. Listen, Bobby Wagner, a great linebacker in his prime, makes a goal line play, and you lose that game. That was one of the best games of last season. Russell Wilson on the other side of the ball balling out, right? And then you get stripped in the red zone against Buffalo. If not for those two plays, you're 9-7. As it was, you were 7-9. But Cam, it was never the same once you got COVID. You missed a game, then you came back, you weren't the same. And from that experience, you think, you know, if the whole world's like, please, let's get a vaccine to this thing. We can get out of this. And lo and behold, here's a vaccine. Nah, you know what? Nah. I'm gonna try to ride this one out. Okay, well, this is what happened. You left the door open, and look, it looks like Mac Jones walked through it. Mac Jones has looked very good, very good. He's the heir apparent. Eventually, the job is going to be his. I just think that with this roster and team ready to win, with the experience Cam Newton had last year, with the fact that he was having the best passing season of his career when he got hurt with Carolina, with when you add all that up, I think the Patriots are Super Bowl contender. I don't think they're going to get to a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback. It's never happened before. It's not that it'll never happen, but it's never happened before. I don't think they get there with a rookie quarterback. Do I think they can get there with Cam? Yep, I do. I do think so. Would I pick them? No. I wouldn't pick them to get to the Super Bowl. But are they one of the 8 or 9 teams that I look at you go, yeah, they could get there? Yes, they are. Now, who do I believe they have a better chance to get to a Super Bowl with, a rookie or a former MVP, number one overall pick, who was having the best passing season of his career when last seen in a system he knew and was healthy, and then in a comeback year, no preseason, no practice, no receivers, no defense, new coach, and he got COVID, came two plays away from going 9-7? Yeah, I think Cam gives you the better chance right now. Before I get to the Niners, because I think the Niners with Garoppolo and Trey Lance are in a very similar situation. In both cases, I support the incumbent veteran quarterback who is a brand name guy whose brand has come to mean something I believe is under his actual value. The Cam Newton brand is devalued right now, below where it ought to be. You can buy low on Cam and make some money. Same thing with Jimmy G, in my opinion. Both rosters ready to compete for a Super Bowl. With neither roster would I trust a rookie quarterback to get me there. And in both cases, brand name quarterbacks who are better than their brand suggests right now, both Cam Newton and Jimmy G. They're winning quarterbacks. Okay. Tua's starting spot in Miami could be in jeopardy here. Brian Flores, a coach who, let's not forget, from the New York area, by the way, let's not forget, a couple years ago, Miami started so slow, we were asking, is this the worst team in the history of the NFL? Like, that question was being bandied about. Did they already quit on coach? No. Brian Flores turned that around. And they wound up with, you know, last year they won 9 games with a no-name defense. And then they picked up Jalen Waddle in this year's draft. He'd throw a little 5-yard pass. He could take it to the house from anywhere. He's that kind of dynamic receiver. Brian Flores, no comment on Deshaun Watson. He's very confident in Tua Tagovailoa. This is according to Yahoo Sports. Now, this is what's significant. When Deshaun Watson first started beefing with the Texans, wanted to trade, I thought, okay, wait a minute. If you're beefing with Deshaun Watson, the irony, his reputation was so excellent that my feeling was, if you have a problem with Deshaun Watson, no one's looking at Deshaun Watson. They're looking at you. Deshaun Watson is what you wanted, representing your brand, your team, leading your team. And then the accusations started coming out from massage therapists that he met on Instagram. There's one. Well, listen, a lot of athletes are targets. They are. You don't want to doubt accusers, but there's a presumption of innocence. And the fact is, rich, famous athletes are targets. And a 2 came out, and then 3 came out, and I thought, well, I guess it's possible for, I don't know, let's see what happens. Then 8, and then 12, and then 15. We're up to over 20 different accusers, unless you believe in some vast conspiracy and well-coordinated conspiracy, where also, if you've heard any of these women speak, if you've seen any of them, they happen to find over 20 Academy Award-winning caliber actresses. No, I don't think so. It looks bad for Deshaun Watson at this moment. There's a presumption of innocence. He'll have his day in court, but it looks bad. Very bad for Deshaun Watson. That's a distressed asset in football terms. Now, before all this, when it was first announced the Texans, Deshaun wanted out, I thought, okay, the team to trade for him is the Miami Dolphins. That makes the most sense. People were talking about other teams. I focused in on the Dolphins like a laser beam, Raj. Like one of those laser beams from the Austin Powers with the that the Sharks wore on their hat when they were making fun of Goldfinger or whatever it was.
Months ago you were on it. You said the Dolphins.
That's right. And the reason I said the Dolphins is because usually – because the asking price would be astronomically high for a superstar quarterback in his prime, right? When has a guy like that ever been traded in the NFL? Ever? A superstar quarterback in his prime? Not a guy who might turn out to be, but a guy right now? One of the five best guys in football? He's available for a trade. It's going to take multiple firsts and all this stuff. And how do you do that and then still contend as a team? Because Deshaun doesn't want to go to some bum squad, right? He wants to go to a good team. Well, Miami, through some shrewd moves, trades and such, Fitzpatrick and all this, had a lot of draft capital, even though they'd won nine games with an excellent defense. So I thought, okay, two is worth the first-round pick. And you got multiple firsts and you got multiple thirds and fourths and all this in the coming drafts. You can put together a great package and still have an excellent team around Watson in a warm weather city with a national following, and you might win a Super Bowl. Got to do it. But they didn't. And they drafted guys, and they drafted Jalen Waddle. They used all the draft capital, and now they're talking to the Texans. Now, early reports were that this is what they were talking about, multiple firsts and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, when I saw that, I thought, well, wait a minute. This ain't about Deshaun. This is about a lack of confidence in Tua. Because if you believe in Tua, you're not making that deal. But now I find, Raj, put that back up on the screen, the details real quick. Now I find that according to Yahoo, the Dolphins balked at the asking price for Watson. Now that tells me, that Miami has not given up on Tua. Like, Watson is probably already better than Tua will ever be. But if given Watson's off-the-field trouble, you're still willing to pay the original asking price, that means you don't believe in Tua. If you're not willing to pay that price, that means better things for Tua. That means you believe in Tua, you just know Watson's better. All right. Do we have Marcus Spears waiting? Is that what I'm led to believe? Marcus Spears, ESPN, NFL analyst, on the Goodyear hotline. Marcus, who should be the Pats' starting quarterback?
Mac Jones, Max. Oh, and it hurt me to say it, man, but I looked at this two different ways, bro. I looked at it as Cam really hasn't done anything to relinquish, you know, coming in as the perceived starter. But he hasn't done anything to widen the gap either. And I think when you get to that point, if you're looking at both of these guys, and then we basing it strictly off performance this preseason and practice, you would have loved for Cam to be able to separate himself from Mac Jones and make this an easy decision. I think the fact that we hear today, without Belichick naming a starter, with all of the things that Cam went through last year, him having an offseason this year and preparing, and you know when they go up to take Mac Jones 15th, that's the eye on the future. And I just feel like it's not about what Cam did bad. It's about what Cam didn't do well enough to absolutely separate himself from Mac Jones and what Mac Jones' performance is.
I see it a very different way. First of all, they didn't move up. I mean, Mac Jones fell to them at 15. But this is how I see it. Mac Jones has been outstanding this preseason. Would you agree for a rookie?
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely.
He hasn't locked up the job either. They got him at 15. When does Belichick ever draft a quarterback in the first round? It's never happened. Mm-hmm. They did it, got him at 15, and he has not taken the job from Cam necessarily. To me, that means Cam, whose brand has been devalued, I think, beyond what is actually realistic. I thought, like, I keep reading and hearing about how in practice Mac Jones has looked better than Cam. Marcus, the best either one of them has looked was game two of the preseason, Cam Newton. That's the highest height I've seen either one of these guys reach, in my opinion, in this preseason. I don't know. With a roster that I think I can compete for a Super Bowl, this goes for them and the Niners. I'm starting the veteran. I could always go to the rookie if it doesn't work out. Why start the rookie?
I hear you. And it's argument for both sides. And that's why I started this off by saying, for me, I had to shift the way I was thinking about it. And really, I've seen all these preseason games. I haven't seen where Cam has just separated himself from Mac Jones. Now, we can go with the notion that it's been pretty even along the way. I think Mac has had better moments than Cam in this preseason, but obviously he's played more and he's had an opportunity to play against competition in some games where it's not going to be like the start day. And I get the whole idea about you can always go to the rookie if things don't work out. But I'm not going to be biased in how I'm feeling. I feel like Justin Fields outplayed Andy Dalton, and that's why I think Justin Fields should start in Chicago. I think Mac Jones has outplayed Cam Newton this preseason, and he's outplayed him in practice as well. If you think about missing 5 days, which I know nobody wants to admit that it matters, damn right it matters.
Yep.
It's Bill Belichick, bro. So I'm thinking about it in a different way. Like, my affinity for Cam and the emotional part of wanting to see him become a QB where he can go somewhere else and be QB1 has been in the way of me evaluate, taking myself totally out of what I know about Cam, playing against him, understanding his talent. I had to remove all of that, Max. And the bottom line is, when you turn the tape on from preseason game one all the way through, and you may not see it this way, Mac Jones has outplayed Cam Newton in the preseason.
Right, here's how I feel about all these rookies. And I've been on the record saying this could be, after one preseason game, I looked at these kids, these five guys, and I thought, this could be the greatest quarterback draft ever. It's possible. It's possible. All five could be long-time starters.
It's possible.
Right. Okay. I wouldn't start a single one of them except Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson I'm starting. And let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take it one at a time. Justin Fields has no offensive line. Justin Fields, I think, has a chance to be a great quarterback. I ain't risking that behind that offensive line as a rookie. Nope. Nope. Of course he's better than Andy Dalton. That's all right. I'll let Andy Dalton be the tackling dummy for a while. I wouldn't have traded Gardner Minshew. By the way, Trevor Lawrence better than Gardner Minshew. Played better in the preseason. I'm not risking Trevor Lawrence behind that offensive line. Nope. Sorry. I look at San Francisco and New England. They're ready to win now. I'm not trusting a rookie to win me a Super Bowl. But those other two guys have both been in Super Bowls. Garoppolo came one throw away from winning. Cam got there with an offense where he's the best running back and the tight end is his best receiver. I'll trust those guys with a team that's ready to win before a rookie. The only guy is Zach Wilson because they fixed the left side of the line and they have no one else, and he's excellent.
Man, we don't have time to get into all this, but you know damn well in your heart of hearts Cam Newton ain't leading the New England Patriots to no Super Bowl. Don't get on the radio with that foolishness.
I don't know that.
Like, come on.
Man, wait, why? Hold on, he's been in the Super Bowl before.
Because what we've seen from Cam Newton doesn't tell you he's going to lead them to a Super Bowl. It does not. Now, he may have an epiphany this year, and he may become Cam Newton of old. But nothing about Cam Newton in the last 2 years tells you that he's going to lead a team to the Super Bowl.
Wait a minute. Nothing. Last year, he was in a brand new situation off a catastrophic injury. No defense, no receivers, no practice, no preseason. Two plays away from 9-7. I don't know that he's never going to. I don't know that he'll. I don't know that his best football's not in front of him.
Well, we disagree. Nothing
Everyone's
about,
down on
when,
Cam.
When I'm looking at the AFC mm-hmm. with Patrick Mahomes,
Ooh.
With Lamar Jackson, mm. with Justin Herbert, mm. with Josh yeah, Allen,
yeah.
Cam Newton ain't leading the New England Patriots to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, they got some good.
I'm not comparing it to Cam Newton of 2015 and Cam Newton.
But
now,
Mac Jones
I'm
is?
Comparing Cam Newton to the other quarterbacks he would have to beat in order to get to a Super Bowl.
Mac Jones is beating a rookie. Who can't move, by the way, is going to beat Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, has a better shot to do it than Cam Newton?
Max, no, but you know what Mac Jones is?
Hmm.
The absolute future for the New England
No
Patriots.
Doubt. Listen, at some point this season or next, he's going to take over that team. I'm just saying, you're writing Cam off. Wow, Marcus. Wow. Cam Newton off.
I'm writing Cam off to another team.
You're writing Jimmy G off, too? I got 1 minute left. You're writing Jimmy G off? I got 30 seconds left.
No, Jimmy G going to start for somebody else after he leaves San Francisco, but it'll be Trey Lance's job at some point this season.
Everyone just giving up on the old guys.
No, stop it.
You're an old guy now, Marcus. How could you give up on the old guys?
I live in this dose of reality and this thing called tape. And the tape could be lying in the preseason, Max. That's why it's always gray area when you're trying to determine what guy is going to take it to the regular season. All you're looking for is trading characteristics that you knew about these guys out of college and to see if it shows up. It has shown up no better for nobody than Zach Wilson and his translation from BYU to the Jets. Yeah. I understand that. But Justin Fields has shown up. It translates.
Marcus, it's my fault. It's my fault, but we're over time. We're over time. It's my fault.
All right, bro.
Raj is getting mad. Brendan's getting mad. Everyone's very angry and upset that I asked you an additional question right toward the end of the segment. But I like listening to Marcus Spears. I also like listening to my own voice. That's how it is. The great Marcus Spears, join me on the Goodyear Hotline, making plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Are you happy now, Raj? And Brendan, you hurt Marcus's feelings. Coming up on No Doubt, did the Lakers just add an important piece to a championship roster? Football's almost here. There's no better place to get in on the action than with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. As the season is quickly approaching, DraftKings is your one-stop shop to make it rain all season long. To bring you even closer to the action, DraftKings is giving all new players a free shot at $1 million during week one. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, see how your team stacks up against the competition. I mean, I love DraftKings. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching a game quite like having a free shot at huge cash prizes. Download the DraftKings app now and use code MAX. For a limited time, players can get a free shot at millions of dollars as $1 million during week one. No Doubt coming up.
The beginning of the season, I want to be in that moment. It's just one of them things where you say, man, I wish I had that right now.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Mike Greenberg, and I'm ready.
This is Mina Kimes, and you know my Seahawks are ready.
This is Matthew Berry. The Texas A&M Aggies are ready.
This is Ryan McGee, and I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Regulators. This is an all-time great song. That's right. On a mission trying to find Mr. Warren G. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Nate! The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. I'm going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No Doubt.
All right, Raj, what you got?
Hey, yo, Max, are you concerned for the Ravens offense after J.K. Dobbins is lost for the season?
Nah, son. I mean, it ain't going to help them. It's going to hurt them, not help them. But running backs have marginal influence on the wins and losses of a team. I think the Cam Akers loss is a bigger blow to the Rams because of what McVay may have done with Akers and Matt Stafford, right? Because you think of what he did with Goff and Gurley. Not that Akers is better than Gurley was, but Stafford's better than Goff was, you'd think. But in this case, look, running backs, a decent running back behind a good offensive line gets you 7 yards a carry. A great running back behind a good offensive line gets you 10. So he gets you 3 more. But if you're getting 7 yards a carry, you're doing just fine. And a great running back behind a bad offensive line is going to get you 2 or 3 yards, right? It's about the offensive line, not the back. They'll be fine. I mean, like, it would help to have Dobbins. He's very good, but they'll be fine.
Hey, I don't know if you saw what was going on with baseball and the Mets, but let's take a listen to this interaction with Javier Baez, Mets infielder.
What does the thumbs down celebration after a big hit mean?
Just a boost that we get. You know, we're not machines. We're gonna struggle. You know, we're gonna struggle 7 times out of 10. And you know, it just feels bad when we strike out. When I strike out and I get booed, you know, it doesn't really get to me. But like, I want to let them know that when we success, we're gonna do the same thing to let them know how it feels. You know, because if we win together, then we gotta lose together. You know, and the fans are really big part of it. So. In my case, they got to be better. You know, I play for the fans and I love the fans, but, you know, if they're going to do that, they just put in more pressures on the team. And that's not what we want.
He makes,
Max,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. You good with the Mets players giving the thumbs down for booing them?
Nah, son. Here's the thing. Hines makes a lot of good points, but in the end, you can't give the thumbs down to your fans. Yeah, you're making millions of dollars to play the game. It's generated by the fans who are coming to see you play. They have every right to boo if you don't do well. Now, I agree. They're working at cross purposes. If they really want the team to do well, encourage them. I never got booing your own team. Never got it. Nevertheless, they'll do it. And you got to deal with it. It's part of being a pro. The funniest thing about this to me, it's hilarious. Apparently, they've been doing this for a while. But they do it when they do something good. And since the Mets very rarely have any positive plays, no one's noticed that they've been doing it for a while. And this all happens against the backdrop of the Yankees in a 13-game win streak. Like, this was happening during Yankees' 13-game win streak. And keep in mind, the Mets were in first place the whole way, like, beginning of the season, right? For a lot of the season, and the Yankees were floundering. It's just so perfect. Listen, anyone who moves to New York, and I can't bring myself to root for the Yankees, I'll make my kid a Mets fan. You've done it to yourself. You've just done it to yourself. Give up the Mets, root for the Yankees. You'll lead a happy life. Go ahead.
Hey, Max, it's National Beach Day. I don't know if you're aware of that. So you're going to hit the beach while on vacation, man? You going to work on that tan?
No doubt.
No doubt.
My favorite thing in the world, actually, as it now is an old man, I'm 48 years old, I like lying on the beach on a beach chair, right? And the kids are playing, whatever, and I got a book, like a book I'm really into. And I read it. Until I can't take the heat anymore, roll into the ocean. I don't even go swimming. I just roll in, jump into the wave. I'm in there for a minute. I pop back out, let the sun dry me, and do it again. If I can do that for like 3 or 4 hours, that's like heaven to me nowadays because I'm old. But I love it. So, I love one last beach day before this summer ends. Yeah. And there you have it.
All right. Speaking of one last beach day, hey, Rajon Rondo, is that a good signing for the Lakers?
No doubt. At $2.7 million, whatever he's getting? Yeah. Look, Rondo can't do it anymore. Not like even when he was no good in the regular season, playoff Rondo was excellent. Not just by reputation, but indeed, in fact, he was excellent in the playoffs. He was not recently. He slipped. But would I take a flyer for $2.7 million on Rondo? Oh, hell yeah. It's still like, I'll still believe there are some guys that I've seen in those situations enough to know he's valuable. And at the very least, Rondo's basketball brain on the bench will help things. You know, you would think. You get a guy like Talen Horton Tucker, you think that Rondo's tutelage will only help a guy like that, talented young player, you know? Yeah, I like Rondo. By the way, you look at this Lakers team. LeBron, ooh. AD, Westbrook, Carmelo, Dwight Howard, Marc Gasol, Rondo. If this was 6 or 7 years ago, it'd be the greatest team ever assembled.
I was thinking it was the all-decade team from last decade.
They were great. But by the way, Carmelo is still useful. Gasol can be in limited action. I think the same thing about Rondo. Dwight here in, like, you know, can give you some athletic presence in the paint for, you know, at least 15 minutes a game. And then Westbrook, I still think is a great player. And AD is an MVP-caliber player, and LeBron may still be the best player in basketball. We don't know. He's certainly one of the three, along with KD and Giannis, right, at this moment. So they're going to be really good, but damn, if this was 6 or 7 years ago, ooh, does anyone have a time machine? Because if you had one, wow. If there's a game, someone's betting on it. Did you know that, Raj? Stream season 2 of Better Days. That's BETTOR. Better, as in you're betting. Get it? Better Days. The Mike Greenberg hosted series, that brings the true stories of unforgettable gambling adventures to life. There's a host, boy. Brendan knows. He's worked with me and Greenberg. Well, I may be, you know, off the charts in terms of intelligence and charisma, not to mention looks. Boy, that Greenberg is smooth. Oh, when he's hosting a show, you're in good hands. By the way, you know, we have the same birthday, Raj. He's like 6 years older than me, but born on the same day. What a day for sports punditry.
That's cool.
All episodes of Better Days are now streaming only on ESPN+. Coming up, Last Take is Your Take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Still got a couple of spots open on the phones here. I'm going to get to some calls right now. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776.
The pitch and a fastball. Kemp, a drive deep down the right field line toward the corner. It's gone! Home run! Tony Kemp! The fifth home run this season for Kemp and his third against the Yankees. And a huge home run for the A's. It gives them a 3-1 lead.
Just an awful, awful night for baseball with the Yankees losing like that. I think everyone can agree. The greatest team in the history of worldwide team sports, the 27-time world champion New York Yankees. Unfortunately, a night after their 13-game winning streak ended, they lost another game. Tony Kemp went yard. The A's knocked off the Yanks again last night on ESPN Radio. This Sunday Night Baseball recap is brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. Get ready for the Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 3 5G and Z Fold 3 5G. Pre-order now at Samsung.com. I was expecting to hear some music, something, Raj, something. I want to quickly, before I get to the calls, talk a let me get the calls first, because otherwise people don't believe I'm actually going to take them. Dr. Dan in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hi, Max. Please rank these three NFC teams for me as far as who has the best chance to beat Brady and the Bucks: Rams, Packers, 49ers. And a comment, if I may.
Yeah.
The original Rocky was the best Rocky. However, Rocky Balboa was excellent, specifically because of the ringside commentary.
Yes.
So I think there was a little bit of bias toward Mason the Lion Dixon, good sir.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll say this. I actually think the best Rocky was Rocky III. It's just that critics have a hard time saying the emperor has no clothes. It's a corollary of that, actually. It has to be serious kind of subject matter, or they won't, like, nominate it for an Academy Award. So Rocky I was a classic underdog story. It was beautiful and heart-wrenching and all this kind of stuff, and inspirational. So everyone's like, oh, yes, that's a serious film. Rocky III was more cartoonish. It was basically a cop buddy movie, but neither guy was a cop, right? But I thought Rocky III is one of the best movies ever made, period. You got to throw out the running on the beach in short shorts, weird 1980s thing. You know, Scarface had a montage like that also. But Rocky III was – Clubber Lang was one of the best three antagonists in film history to me, along with Darth Vader and Hannibal Lecter. I thought, like, that movie was amazing. Rocky was great too. I thought Rocky Balboa was quite good too. And by the way, I was in both Creeds. Don't leave out the Creeds. Okay, now – NFC contenders who could bump off the Bucks. Number one is the Packers, because they have Aaron Rodgers. They're a well-balanced team who has a miracle worker under center. Okay, that's one. Two are the Rams, because Stafford should be an improvement on Goff. I hate the fact they lost Cam Akers. I think he would have been really useful. But the Rams can play on both sides of the ball. McVay is an innovative coach, and that outside zone blocking scheme works, you know? And then I would say three, who was coming in third? San Francisco. San Francisco's real, but at the quarterback position, whether it's Trey Lance or Jimmy G, I don't think they have quite as much as the Rams or especially the Packers. So I would order them in that number. 1, 2, 3. Packers 1, Rams 2, and then Niners 3. That's how I'd do it. Elio, is that your name in Iowa? I don't know. Maybe it's not Elio in Iowa. All right, look, I want to get to Jake Paul anyway before I get out of here. All right, Elio, too late. Jake Paul beat Tyron Woodley by split decision last night. It shouldn't have been a split. Should have been unanimous. Maybe you could give Woodley two or three rounds. Jake Paul won the fight clearly. And he held on at the end. He was gassed. You know, relaxed fighters can go rounds. But if you're nervous, you wind up gassing whether or not you're in shape. Jake looked in shape to me. Looked like he'd worked hard. He was tense because he's a novice professional fighter. It looked like Woodley. I thought Woodley was going to knock him out late in that fight. Jake got through it. Credit to him. Woodley didn't pull the trigger. And now Jake is fighting a guy who can strike but doesn't have a boxing background, who's naturally smaller. Welterweight in the UFC is 170 pounds. Jake is bigger than that. And who hasn't won a fight in a long time. He's past his prime. The problem the Paul brothers have, Jake and Logan, is they need to make big events because they're generating millions of dollars. And by the way, Jake made sure, apparently, reportedly, that every fighter on his card got a career-high payday. And in order to do so, he took a little less. That's commendable. But the Paul brothers have to find fighters who have big names who won't beat them up because they're novice fighters. How do you do that? You go to the UFC. You go to MMA guys. Little by little, you fight a guy who doesn't strike. Then you fight a guy who can strike, but he doesn't box. Then you fight a guy who boxes, but he's old and small. Then, you know, another half dozen fights from now, if Jake continues to gradually increase the opposition and go through tough training camps, maybe he could be something in the fight game. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, Shanahan Golic Jr. coming up. See you tomorrow. Poof.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.